The Lord be with you.
With your
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. One of the scribes came to Jesus and asked him, "Which is the first of all the commandments?" Jesus replied, "The first is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." The scribe said to him, "Well said, teacher, you are right in saying he is one, and there is no other than he, and to love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself, is worth more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." And when Jesus saw that he answered with understanding, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And no one dared to ask him any more questions. The Gospel of the Lord. Happy Halloween, everyone. If you've had any encounter or experience with our Jewish brothers and sisters, perhaps today's first reading sounds a little familiar. In the Jewish tradition, this first reading is part of what's called the Shema, or in Hebrew it means hear, as in hear, O Israel. And it's part of the centerpiece of their morning and evening prayer services, so they say it repeatedly throughout the day and throughout the week. It's a daily reminder to keep the commandments and to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. It's also a reminder that the commandments of God aren't just a moral obligation, but are truly the key to happiness in this life and in the life to come. In the psalm we hear, "I love you, Lord, my strength." But why should we love God? He doesn't need our love. He doesn't need our praise or adoration or worship. But we do. We need to love him. We need to praise him. We need to adore him and worship him. And we do this for our own sake, for our own salvation. You see, as humans, we are inclined to sin. That's just kind of the normal operating procedure for us. I know we don't like hearing about sin, but there is this tendency in us to sin. Because of this, we need God. We need to love God. We need his forgiveness and mercy, and he indeed gives it to us each and every day that we ask for it. In fact, God's desire to love us and show us his mercy is so great that he sent us a Savior, his only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And as we heard in the second reading, Jesus, the Christ, is always able to save those who approach God through him, because he lives forever to make intercession for us. So, how do we love God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? How do we show him our love? The gospel acclamation we just heard tells us precisely how. Whoever loves me will keep my word. Whoever loves me will keep my word. Another way to say this is, whoever loves me will keep my commandments. But this leads to another question: what commandments? There are something like 600 laws and rules in the Old Testament. If we're going to show God our love, does that mean we have to know and remember all 600 of them? No. Luckily for us, Christ distilled these hundreds of laws, and in particular the Ten Commandments, down to just two. Love God, love your neighbor as yourself. This is the core of the gospel, the core of everything Christ has taught. And there is no other commandment greater than these two. And while there is no greater commandment, these two have much more depth than we could possibly imagine. We've spent the last 2,000 years as a church contemplating these two commandments, meditating on these two commandments. 2,000 years worth of commentary from the popes to the saints to every person in the pew, the farmers in the field, everyone just dwells on these and takes something from it, whatever God is asking them to take from it. There's also a hierarchy in these two commandments. There's a reason he lists love God first, because this is the first and greatest commandment. The first three laws of the Ten Commandments, in fact, are summed up in this one, love of God. And then the last seven are summed up by love of neighbor. If we're to understand fully what these two commandments entail, we can't rely solely on our own understanding. As we know, Christ selected 12 of his disciples to send out to the ends of the earth to teach everything that he had taught them. That teaching of Christ still exists today in the church he founded on St. Peter and the apostles. We call these teachings that Christ has passed on the deposit of faith. So again, we can't rely solely on our own understanding, but instead, we must look to the church to elucidate and clarify what we hear in Scripture today. I'll spare you an in-depth treatise on the commandment about loving God and summarize it very briefly. Love God. It just means putting him first, going to Mass, keeping holy Sundays, and all that good stuff. The second commandment, the second greatest commandment, is just as rich and deep as the first. But if I were to tell one of the school kids to love their siblings, it wouldn't be immediately obvious what they were supposed to do. Oh, but Father, I don't yell at them, I don't hit them, isn't that enough? No, it's not. There's always going to be more that God is asking for us. Even if we think we have it, there's always just a little more that God asks of us. Because day by day, inch by inch, we move closer and closer to our Lord. At the Last Supper, Christ gave us a new law of love. That new law of love can be pretty difficult, because it means following in our Lord's footsteps to love one another with the same love with which Christ loved us. With a sacrificial love which is ready and willing to lay down one's life for another. This is represented most fully and most beautifully in the crucifixion of our Lord. My brothers and sisters, we know that in order to show our love for God, he asks us to follow his commandments. So how do we grow in our ability and willingness to follow God's law of love? The most practical thing we can do is, while in prayer, making what the saints have called an examination of conscience. This examine is made up of three distinct parts. The first is kind of think back over our day. So either at the end of our day or at the very beginning, think about everything that came before. And kind of going through it and seeing where God has showed us his love, where God has poured out his grace into our lives. It could be as simple as coming to Mass today. Maybe this is the only grace that we receive today. I guarantee you it's not. There's much more. But maybe this is the only one we'll be able to identify. But it could be a conversation we've had with a loved one. Maybe a phone call from a friend that we haven't spoken to in months. Maybe it's the smile that the clerk gave you at the bank or at the grocery store. Or maybe, I don't know, any number of things, any number of times throughout our day where God is showing us his love, his grace through other people. So that's the first step. The second step in the examine is looking over the day and finding those moments where perhaps we've failed to follow God's law of love, where we failed to love God or failed to love our neighbor. And the reason we start with the good is so it gives us the courage to look at our failures. Because this is a good thing to do as Christians. It's, at the very least, it helps prepare us for confession or just advancing in the spiritual life. Maybe I wasn't as nice as I could have been to an employee or to a coworker. Maybe I accidentally let my anger get the best of me and I yelled at a student or at a child or, I don't know, any number of things. But the first part, the goodness, allows us to look more clearly at where we've failed to love. And it's an important thing to do. And third, a very important but often overlooked part is to ask, tomorrow, what am I going to do to love more, to love God more, and to love my neighbor more? Making a very specific resolution for the next day. So those are the three. The good, the bad, and the resolution. There's such a very specific thing that we can do. St. Ignatius of Loyola is, one of his foundational things is the examination. And it's practiced, again, by all the saints. It's such a good tool to help us grow in humility, help us to grow in holiness, and most importantly, helping us to grow in love. And our goal with this is to move slowly, gradually, but surely closer to our Lord so that he will say to us, just like he did to the scribe in today's gospel, "You are not far from the kingdom of God."